Yeah, what's it from?
Saul.
Man of Steel. Yeah, it is. It's awesome. Yeah, it just repeats itself in different languages, so everybody like hears, and they're like coming to Earth, and it's like all this static going on, and it's crazy. So listen, inside, buried inside the static of that message was an actual message you could understand. What was it? Did you guys hear it? You're not alone, right? And if you saw the movie, it was because aliens were coming, and mankind thought that they were just like the only thing out there, and all of a sudden there's aliens, and anyway, it was Superman, so it was all make-believe. But the point is, you get this really staticky message, you can almost not make it out until you hear it a bunch of times, and you're like, oh, I get it. And what have we been talking about so far in our series, where we're almost done with? You guys remember? The family plan, we're talking about friends, family, we've been saying it every single week forever, so hopefully it sticks in our heads, that the Bible is all about relationships. It's about our relationship with God and our relationship with other people. And so we talked about our relationship with God first, we talked about family, we talked about friends, now we're talking about dating, and eventually we're going to talk about marriage. So as we go through this, there's something tonight that we need to pause for a minute, because last week was pretty heavy. Last week, we talked about sex and temptation and different things, and we got real with each other. We talked about some issues that you probably hear about all the time, just not from people usually that you would, you know, expect to hear it from. You hear it maybe in school, you hear it in the sports fields or locker rooms. You hear it kind of like quietly whisper between friends, but a lot of times we don't talk about that issue out loud in front of people. Sometimes we're even embarrassed to even talk about it. And so what happens is if we don't do that, then the only message that you hear about it is the ones that are whispered. And usually the ones that are whispered because they're not true. Because you don't want other people to hear them. And so we walk away with a message. But the message is kind of like what we saw up here. It's just kind of like staticky, and it's kind of buried in there somewhere. And it's this obscured lie because it has to be whispered. And so we're not talking about sex still this week. So you can be like, okay, good. Now you guys are like all relaxing, all right? But we're moving on. We did that last week. But we're still talking about relationships, and we're talking about this week the message that we get about all this stuff. Because do you know that you're getting messages like this all the time? They're getting poured like in your minds. As you turn on the TV, you're seeing messages about dating and about relationships and about a whole lot of stuff. We just happen to be talking about relationships right now. So that's what we're going to focus on. But as you turn on the TV or listen to music, you look at billboards. You open a magazine, you get on the internet, there's so many places now that you could go to get messages. You get information, you get stuff. People are telling you things. When you're like checking the internet out or doing whatever, hopefully with your parents' permission, what always happens is you're checking out different websites. Something annoying happens every time. Anybody know? Oh, those stinking ads pop up, right? You can be like click, close, 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 and it's annoying. Well, guess what that is? Being another message for you. Hey, I want you to know this. I want you to think about this. Hey, look at me. And as we talk about the media and we talk about our culture and where we live, we talk about relationships, it's the same deal. Because there are messages going, bing, hey, look at me, all over the place for you guys. So which ones will you listen to? Because sometimes it feels like it's that staticky message. It's like, is that the right one? Like, is this the one I should be listening to? Or is there somewhere that I can find the truth? Or do I just have to listen to all these crazy messages? And so tonight we're going to look at some places where the Bible's very clear about where we should look for the truth, the messages we should be listening to for direction. And it's not the media. It's not music that you listen to and TV that you watch and all these different things on the internet. That's not the place to go to find truth about how to have healthy relationships. We've said before, the Bible is about relationships. That's where we need to go. But guess what? You got an enemy. And that enemy is out there taking the media and all the stuff that you guys love, the songs you love to listen to, the TV shows that you love to watch, the movies you like to go see, the superstar celebrities that you like to follow on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all these other things to keep up with. They're telling you messages. And your choice is, do I listen or do I go to truth? And so tonight, I want you to look with me. We're going to start off. We're going to see a couple different verses. Tonight, Romans 8:5 is where we're going to start. So pop out your phone, check it out in Romans 8:5, and let's see what the Apostle Paul has to tell us tonight about this media that's out there, the culture that's out there that's trying to tell you stuff and send you messages, trying to tell you what life should look like, how to be successful. If you want to be beautiful, dress this way. If you want to be a tough guy, you got to do these things. If you want to be a success, this is what it should look like. That's what the media is trying to tell you. Well, let's see what Paul has to say about it. Romans 8:5. It says this, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." Now, when he uses that word flesh, what do you think he's talking about? Can't hear you. Humans, what? Can't hear you. Blood? True, true. What else?
Skin.
Skin? You guys are being very literal. I feel like we're in a biology class right now. What's new? Ooh. Any other ideas? What did I step on? Popcorn. Oh, that's nice. Hey. When he says flesh, he's talking about the physical world around us. Guess what that is? Guess what the best representation of the physical world around us is? The media. Turn on your TV. Listen to music. Look at billboards. Read magazines. Go on the internet. That's where you'll see what the world around us thinks success is. So as we talk about dating and relationships, guess what? They have a message for you, and they're going to tell you how to do it. They want you to think that dating and having healthy relationships looks a certain way. And Paul's talking about the world, and he's calling it flesh, the physical world around you. And look what he says about it. He says, for those who live according to that, according to this world, the flesh, sin, corruption, the brokenness we live in this culture. Look what they do. They set their minds on the things of the flesh. So he's kind of setting up this like choice for us. Hey, guess where you live? Earth. Guess what Earth is? Broken. Guess what you are? Broken. We all are. And so since we're in this broken flesh or the world, and we're listening to this culture and this media, and we have all this stuff around us giving us messages like we saw, we have to make a choice. Will we listen to that and think that's truth and strive our whole lives to make those people think that we've arrived, like we're it, man? Or will we choose God's path? Because he says there's another type of person. Look at the other choice. Is that, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. If you want to live for this world and be broken like this world, focus on it. Set your hearts and minds on the things of this world. Love stuff. Love money. Love the new thing out there to buy. Love, you name it. You name it. Put it on the list. Love it and focus on it and chase after it hard. And you'll be a person who loves the world and flesh and sin and everything God hates. But the other choice is, if you want to live for Christ, you know what you should do? You set your heart on Christ. He says, set your heart on the Spirit. The things of the Spirit. Love God. Love truth. Love His Word. Love people. Hate sin. Hate the world. But you have to make the choice, where will you set your heart? Because where your heart is set, that's what you're going to run after. What you think truth is, that's what you're going to do. Now, it's funny how we do things based on what we believe. If we think something's true, we'll act a certain way based on that. Now, here's how I'm going to illustrate that. The other day, Matt Denyer, you guys know Matt Denyer, raise your hand if you know him. Yeah, everybody knows him. He's goofy. He's here all the time. Okay, Matt Denyer was doing this like job, this landscaping job out in Cocoa, and he told me that he was doing it. He's like, stop by and see this awesome work I just did. So I was like, cool. So I run over and I stop, and he was putting down this like awesome house out there. This is all these like paver stones he put, like, this huge, beautiful back patio. So I go and I'm looking at his work and I'm like, yeah, acting like I know something about it. Yeah, good work, good work. I had no idea. It looked pretty. And as I'm sitting there talking to him, he has this worker. And this worker that works with him is kind of crazy. He's fun and crazy though, but he's wild, man. So I'm back there and I'm sitting there, I'm talking to Matt Denyer, and all of a sudden, this dude's up front where I parked my truck right next to Matt's, and he's screaming. He screams like, Matt, Matt. And we're like, what happened to him? Like, did he drop something on his toe? Like, so we walk around the corner and there he is. And he's like throwing his hands up in the air. And he's screaming. He's like, Matt, a truck's on fire. A truck's on fire. And we're like, what? So we look out and all of a sudden this huge like puff of smoke is coming out from my hood under my truck. So it was my truck. And I'm like, what? So we start running. Justin's with us. We start running. go up to the truck. I pop the hood open of my truck, and this smoke is just billowing out of my engine. And I'm like, my truck's going to burn and blow up. Like, the dude's, like, running, like, covering his head like the truck's going to blow up. Justin had this huge big gulp. And what does he do? Coke all over my engine to put this fire out. Thank you, Justin, for that. So we're just going nuts thinking, like, man, my truck's going to blow up. You know what it was? That crazy dude had put a smoke bomb under my truck. And it was just a stinking smoke bomb billowing up there. And he's on the back, and that turkey is laughing. He's like, ha, ha, ha. And I'm freaking out, and Justin's dumping Coke on my engine. Like, we responded a certain way because we believed that was true. Like, I believed it. Like, they should have got Pulitzer Prize awards, so that were Emmys or Grammys or, I don't know, some sort of award for acting, because they were so good. I believed it. But I didn't just say I believed it. We reacted. We responded and behaved a certain way because I really believed my truck was on fire. Was it? No. It was a lie, right? It was just all smoke, not fire. And so I wonder if sometimes when we hear messages that we believe, even though they're lies, will we behave a certain way because we believe it? When the world's telling you that relationships should look a certain way, that you should be doing certain sexual things by the time you're this old, or guys, you're just lame and you're a loser, and but girls, if you don't have a boyfriend by the time you're this old, then you're just too old for it. Or you need to look a certain way and you need to starve yourself so that you're this skinny so you look beautiful. Lies. They're all lies. But we hear it. Will you listen to that? Because when you do, when you believe all that junk, garbage lies that you see on TV and hear and all this music that we listen to, you will behave differently. You will behave as if that's true. And all of a sudden, your relationships will be the most unhealthy things you could ever have because you're believing lies. I thought the smoke bomb was actual fire. I responded. Sometimes we hear lies about relationships and we respond. And we do it in an unhealthy way. Now, I'm praying, God, tonight that there, most of you haven't even started relationships like that, dating yet. So we're catching you early. Please, God. Some of you guys already are. Here's what I want to tell you. It's not too late. And right now, you need to start looking for truth and stop listening to lies. You need to start setting your mind on truth and not on this physical world. Because it will destroy you. Now, look. I got another verse I want us to peek at. 1 John 2:15. 1 John 2:15. It says, you guys there? Some of you are still looking. You can peek at the screen if you don't have it yet. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All right, so there, it's clear for us, right? It's not just this choice of, do you set your mind on the world or God? But it's more than that. He says, don't love the world. You realize that we are born slaves. We've talked about this before. You have no choice. You're born, you're broken, you're in sin. You have no choice but to be a slave to the world and to choose sin and to do things that are sinful. You can't do anything about that. You're stuck in that. And so we love the world naturally the second we take our first breath and cry and the doctor smacks you on the little butt as a little baby, makes you cry, all right? But from there, what? Doctor, you never heard that?
Wait, what?
Baby comes out and the doctor smacks his butt to make it like cry so that it won't, whatever, go look it up on YouTube. All right. No, you better not look it up on YouTube. Man, you probably all got smacked. Anyway, so not the point. I forgot where we were. Yeah, we're born that way. We're born broken. We're born slaves to love the world. So listen, this media that's out here, all this awesome stuff, if you name some stuff you guys listen to just so I can like update myself. What's like the best, coolest singer out there right now? Wow. 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 Beyonce. Okay. Yeah, she started singing in church. She's come a long way from there. Huh? Lady Gaga. Yeah, yeah. All right, how about TV show? Friends. You're back in the, that was even bad for the 80s, but still, or 90s, but still. Okay, how about, what? Counting, you don't watch that, you liar. Anyway, you get the point. Now listen, out of all those options, if we were to take all those things and put them up on a Sunday morning, listen, hey, we were to take those things you said and we were to play them on a Sunday morning in church in front of everybody, young people, old people, parents, kids, everybody on a Sunday morning, big screen, loud music, we were to either play those songs or watch those TV shows / movies, you think that would be acceptable for a Sunday morning service? Why not? Gosh, you're like, no way! I wouldn't do that. It would be so embarrassing because we know they're not acceptable. We know that they talk and deal with things that are sin. We know that they're not healthy things for us to be watching and putting in our minds, but yet it's no good for a Sunday morning, right? But in my house, big deal. I mean, then it's okay because nobody's really keeping me accountable. My parents don't really care that much. Like, it's all right. Well, what's the difference? It's the world. It's sin. It's things that what we're told here is not to love the world or the things in the world. Now, this can get sticky because we have to live in this world. We can't just hate everything. That's not what this verse is saying. Don't just start hating everything and go hide like a monk somewhere. The monks a long time used to do this. They would go hide in the woods and they would get away from everybody. Some would sit on these big, tall, like posts, really, really high up posts. They were only like this, like a telephone pole. They would just sit there all by themselves for weeks and weeks and weeks. Because that's how they would see this verse. Like, I have to get rid of everything. Hate everything. That's not what's being said here. But your heart shouldn't chase after sin. Your heart shouldn't excuse sin in your life. You should look at sinful things that dishonor God and you should run from them. You should hate them. And so what we're being told here in 1 John, run from the world. Don't love the world. Don't love what the media is telling you is awesome. These shows that we watch that we know deal with terrible, horrible issues we shouldn't be putting in our heads. Listening to music that talks about things and celebrates things that are absolutely against Scripture and the way we should not live our lives, but they celebrate them. I can't turn on many country music songs without hearing garbage about sex and parties and drinking and tailgates and women being... But we listen to it. We excuse it. We love it. We're being told that if we're serious about our faith in Jesus Christ, the fact that he died and gave everything for us, that should mean enough to us that we're willing to say, I hate sin. And I don't care what the media tells me I should look like or what I should listen to or what I should watch, because they don't know any better. The one who died for me knows. The one who created me knows. So he says, hate the world and the things in the world. And he goes on and he takes it up one notch. He says this, hear this part. If anyone loves the world, if you love the world, and that might be you tonight, the love of the Father is not in you. He's kind of saying this, you can't love the world and love God. You can't do both. You can't love the things that God hates. Now, I can illustrate it by saying this. If you ever had a best friend, let's pick someone. Let's say Dustin's my best buddy in the world, man. We're tight. And I say, bro, come over. We're going to chill. We're going to watch the Super Bowl. We're going to make some good grub. You know, we're going to eat some good food and stuff and watch the Patriots win because they're going to. So Dustin's my best friend, right? So, like, I care about this dude. So when he comes over, I know a couple things about my best friend. I know that Dustin hates fish. Oh, he hates it. Makes him throw up, all right? And he's allergic to peanuts. He can't eat it. It'll kill him, so he can't eat peanuts. So when I have him over my house, because he's my best friend, this is what I do for Super Bowl, I make him this big, huge plate of fish with peanut sauce all over the top. Here you go, buddy. Eat up, man. Oh, does that sound wrong at all to anybody? Would that be wise to do for my best friend? Why? Why not?
Because they probably wouldn't Because he hates it. And because he's allergic to it. And it's not good for him. And listen, I care about him. If we say we love someone, we don't do things to hurt them. We don't do the things that they hate. Well, how come when we say we love God, so often we don't even care what he hates? We don't listen to it. And we're running in the exact opposite direction, loving the world. What we're being told in 1 John is that you can't. You can't say, God, I love you so much, but I'm going to do all this stuff you hate so much. So we're commanded to hate the world. To hate it. And to love God. Now you're like, that sounds kind of tough. Like, it is difficult because we're in the world. We live here. We're broken. Like, how do we not do that? 1 John 5:4. Pop there real quick. Just a couple chapters over. 1 John 5:4 says, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. You're like, this sounds so hard, Rob, but listen what he's saying. Listen to this. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. You can do it. Not just you can do it. Everyone who has been born of God will overcome the world. All of us. We're promised that. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Are you ready for it? This is how it happens. You're like, it sounds so difficult. How do I do that? I love all this stuff that the culture tells me to love. And I love the things of the world. And sin is fun. Faith. Faith. You see that last word in that verse? Our faith. As you trust and believe in Jesus, as you have a relationship with Jesus and engage and focus your mind, remember it said your heart and your minds, on the Spirit and not on the world, he's going to start to do something inside of you. He's going to cause you to hate the things of the world and to love him. So the question is, Rob, you know, like, how do I do that? It's so hard. I'm going to look back at you and say, I know why it's hard for you. Are you ready? I'm going to give you the answer why it's difficult for you right now. Because you're not using your faith. You're not engaging in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You might be saved. You may have surrendered your heart to him at some point, but since then you've been off doing something else and loving something else. You need to get back to a relationship with Christ. You need to get back and say, God, you're the most important. Change me. Help me to hate the things of this world and not listen to the lies that the media has for me. Help me to love you and what you want most for my life. It's your faith. That's how we overcome the world. Now listen to me. 1 Corinthians 3:18 and 19. We're going to end with this passage here. 1 Corinthians 3:18 and 19. It says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he's wise in this age, in this world, let him become a fool so that he can become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly, it's foolishness with God. For it's written, all right, here's this quote at the end. He catches the wise in their craftiness. Now, that first phrase there, let no one deceive himself. It's funny because we always blame, like when we fall into sin and temptation, you know what we blame it on? The devil. Man, the devil really got me good that time. He's always tempting me. Or a friend who's like kind of being the devil, like in your ear, like stinking friends and peer pressure. That's why I did it. You know that this verse is kind of neat to me because it exposes something about us. Let no one deceive who? What does it say? Himself. We do such a good job deceiving ourselves and tempting ourselves that we don't need Satan to come along and do it. We don't need a friend to whisper in our ear and have peer pressure. We already crave sin. We're born that way. Remember I told you you're born a slave to sin? And your flesh is always craving it. And so we do a great job deceiving and tempting ourselves before Satan ever even shows up. And so sometimes when we deceive ourselves, we start to think that we're wise. And what this verse tells me here is that most likely the people that are sitting in the room going, I don't have a problem with any of this, usually are the people that have the biggest problem with this. Because we're sitting here going, I'm cool, but you're deceiving yourself. That's exactly what it says. Be careful, don't deceive yourself. If anyone among you thinks you're wise in this world, like this world wants you to be a certain way. I mean, the idea here is that all of us want to end up being like on that magazine, you know, front cover, and be like, yeah, like, that's me. I've arrived, and the world can applaud me because I'm doing all the things the world thinks is amazing. Kind of like this. Dave, can you show my magazine cover real quick? See, I made it on one right there. So that's kind of what we want right there, is we want to be on that magazine cover. I don't even know what it says. We just picked one. I mean, we just did a random thing like 10 minutes ago. But no, I'm not really on a magazine cover. But here's the deal. Take it off real quick so that we don't get distracted. Picture yourself up there. Sometimes we do that. We're like, hey, if I could finally make it. But what happens when you make it? What happens when the world's like, yes, dude, you have done everything that we think is wise? Well, you've just done everything that they can possibly think of that's sin. Because the world loves sin. And so the higher up in the standards of the world that you get, the higher up the ladder you get in this world, probably the more sinful you're becoming. And they're applauding you as you go. And this verse says that as you do that, look what God says. Look at his reaction. Let him become a fool that he can become wise. God goes, hey, listen, if being all up here in the like ladder of the world is where you want to be, the way you actually become wise is fall to the bottom of that ladder. The world should look at you and go, you'll never make it on any magazine cover going that way. You'll never be successful in the world's eyes being that way. Because when you're doing that, you're actually living for Christ, and the world hates that. It's not going to get you in magazine covers. The world's not going to applaud you for that. Jesus actually says later, they will hate you for it. Be ready to say what God's telling you here. I will become foolish in the eyes of the world so that I can find true wisdom in the Word of God. Not just read it and hear it from my youth pastor and my leaders. I want to live this thing out so when the world looks at me, they see I'm different. I don't want them applauding me on. I want them to see Jesus Christ in me. Let him become a fool that he can become wise. And look at the last part. It says, for the wisdom of the world is folly, is foolishness with God. He looks at the success and the wisdom of this world and this culture and this media that we listen to and watch. And he says, that's sin. It's foolish. And whenever the Bible talks about foolishness, you know what? It has this idea that it's going to lead to destruction. It will wreck your life. But it seems great at first. So as we talk about relationships and we watch on TV how, you know, young we should start doing sexual things with the people that we're dating and how intimate and close we should be with them and how all these different things that it's feeding into us and the way we should dress and the things we should do and the way guys should look at girls and what they should expect from girls. All these horrible messages they're feeding us, they're lies. And it brings us right back to the very beginning again, to the choice that we have. Where will you set your mind? Who will you listen to? Will you listen to this garbage? Will you find it acceptable when you wouldn't even watch it on a Sunday morning in church? Or will you go home and say, Mom, Dad, I'm not going to watch that show anymore and turn it off? This music, this garbage music I listen to that talks these horrible messages in my head all the time, I'm going to stop listening to it because it's programming my mind to want those things. I'm going to take a drastic step to say, I love God and I want to follow him and hate the world. Or you do the easy thing that most people do. Will you walk out and be like, okay, well, there's another message. I'm just going to go back to my life again and nothing's going to change. Because it's easier. The decision is going to be yours. I want to end with this because I want to leave you next week, since we're talking about wisdom here at the end of this. Next week, we're going to look at the importance of God's wisdom in relationships. And I want to leave you with a couple practical wisdom steps, just practical things as we go forward to kind of segue into next week. And we'll talk more about it next week. But a few things as you guys are starting to think about dating. The first thing is this. Don't act like you're married until you're actually married. And here's what I mean by this. A lot of times this conversation is only about sex. As long as I don't have sex, then I'm okay. I haven't actually like broken anything. I haven't like done anything totally wrong. But here's the problem is that our hearts and the intimacy that we have with another person can be so much more destructive than just that act of sex. Because sometimes we might not be doing the physical things that a married couple do, but we take our heart and we throw it at someone as if you're already married to them. And you give them an intimacy of your heart that they should not have until the ring is on the finger and the two of you have gone before God and made a covenant before Him. And all of a sudden when a couple breaks up, oh my goodness, you can tell they were really, really intimate and their hearts were really close because they look like they just went through the worst divorce ever. But they were just dating in like junior high. But like they're crying and it's horrible for months because they had been too intimate. The things that they talked about, the things that they did, how they spent their time together was more like a married couple than it was two people getting to know each other. And because of that, it made some destructive results in their lives because they had given that intimacy away. It wasn't sex, but it was their heart. And the Bible says to guard that heart. Don't act like you're married until you're actually married. All right? Second is this. Seek a Proverbs 31 person. We already talked about this before, but look for someone who actually honors God with their life. Don't just look for the prettiest girl around or the most handsome guy around. Look for the person that honors God with their heart and their life. Let that be the number one standard as you're seeking a date. Make it a part of your choice. Third, you need to seek out and listen to wise spiritual counsel. Go to mom and dad and say, what do you think about this person? Go to a pastor, go to a friend, go to people that you respect spiritually who speak into your life and hold you accountable and find out from them, what do you think about this type of relationship with this person? And listen to them. Let them speak into it. Now that's hard when you're dating because a lot of times when you're dating, you just want to do what you want to do. Like that's me, that's my life, that's my decision. It's weird for you to speak into something like when it's about my heart. That's exactly why you need spiritual people speaking into you, because your heart is the most corrupt, broken thing in all of existence, the Bible says. You don't want to listen to that. You want to listen to wise counsel and the Word of God. Ask people. Now, I know a lot of high schoolers that are dating, and if I were to ask them, maybe 2 of 100 of them would say, yeah, I actually listen to wise counsel before I date someone. Make that a choice now where you guys are at, that as you start to date, you will listen to people. And when they say no, you'll be like, okay, it makes sense. But have people holding you accountable in your dating relationships. That's really important. And number four, don't ever let dating, getting to know someone like that, damage your other important relationships in your life. Now here's why. Sometimes we get that couple that disappears together, and all of a sudden all their friends are like, where'd they go? Like, I don't even know where they are anymore. And they damage the relationships with their family, with mom and dad don't agree with the person they're dating, and all of a sudden that gets damaged, and their friends they just disappear to their friends, and they break off and sever those relationships, and then all of a sudden one day she comes up and she goes, I don't like you anymore, and she's gone, and then you're like, oh, wait, where are my friends? Oh, wait, I broke off all my friendships, so I don't have any friends anymore. Oh, where's my family? Well, they're all mad at me because, like, I got in this huge fight over person I'm dating, and now who do I have left? You see, a healthy dating relationship will include, and we heard this when we watched that video with Mark Driscoll. He mentioned this too. I'm just repeating him. It needs to include the people in your life so it's a healthy, supportive, accountable system. As you date, you have people involved in it that can cheer you on and support you and encourage you and hold you accountable. Don't ever damage your relationships over someone you're dating. All right, those are just four right now practical steps because I want to kind of start leaving you with those as we go. Next week, we're going to look at wisdom, God's wisdom in our dating choices, all right? So pray with me and then I'll let you guys go. Father, we love you and we thank you for relationships and we thank you that you are in a relationship with us. We pray that we honor you. We pray that we love you most and that you teach us and work in us so we hate this world and we hate sin. God, that our desire would be to glorify you and love you in the way we date and the way we relate to other people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.